No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1-cubic-foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
What's going on, Rugby Rant fans? It's the Hammer, and I'm back for another episode. This one is a little bit of a departure from what we typically do, even a bit of a departure from the run, pass, or kick style. Basically, I'm calling this After the Whistle, and Bryce Campbell is with us, and he's going to be the first guest on After the Whistle, where we're just going to break down with this series, you know, the life of players after they move away from the pitch and just find out what they're doing once they move from playing rugby. And what's interesting about Bryce, and we'll get into it, is that while he's not on the pitch any longer, he hasn't strayed too far away, and we'll get right into that after a moment. But first of all, let me run down Bryce Campbell. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Rob. Yeah, and I really appreciate it. Yeah, excited to talk to you and share a bit about what I'm doing, and hopefully the fans can relate and keep up with everything that's going on.
Well, we're having trouble keeping up with everything that's going on for obvious reasons. The league hasn't been too forthright with what's going on, but we'll talk a little bit about that, but we're going to really focus on what Bryce is up to and what he has going on now that he's stepped away from his, in professional life, away from rugby. For those fans that don't know, Bryce Campbell has an amazing resume. And I think what makes it awesome is it's so Americanized. It really represents the kind of resume that we as American rugby fans can be proud of, you know, as one of our own. And so let me run down that. First, the amateur level, Cathedral High School in Indianapolis. That'll strike home here in a little bit as we talk about it. He stayed in Indy, graduated from Indiana University, and from what I understand, a double major in marketing and entrepreneurship and corporate innovation.
Yep. It only took a few extra credits to double it up. So I took advantage.
Nice. We are smarter than most of us.
I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah, no. What's interesting is I think, you know, as we get into what you're doing, it'll really tie into and make sense that you majored in business and got in those two fields, in both marketing and the entrepreneurship component. And of course, Bryce was a collegiate All-American, went on a tour of Australia in 2015. And we cannot forget that the cherry on top of this sundae of his amateur career was a Rudy Schultz Award winner, which is great to see coming right out of here in the Midwest. So some superlatives as an amateur. And then going on to the professional career, again, for those that may not be familiar or new to the Rugby Rant or even new to rugby. Played for the Glendale Raptors, also played for the London Irish, one of those kind of rare American rugby players that did a stint in Europe, and then came back, played with the Austin Gilgronis, and of course the Chicago Hounds. He is officially the number one Hound, first ever. I had the honor and privilege of being there when not only was he awarded his first jersey as captain of the Chicago Hounds in year one, 2023, but then he handed out the rest of the jerseys for that first matchup. It was against Old Glory, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was a white Old Glory. Yep.
Yep. Yep. So awesome stuff. And then, of course, USA Selects in the international duty. USA Eagle, number 497, with 47 caps to your name. And one thing I forgot to look, do you know how many times you were captain of the Eagles? How many matches you captained?
I'm not sure. Probably like between 5 and 10. I don't know.
Okay.
Probably like 6 or 7.
All right.
I don't know.
Okay. But, you know, once again, you know, the quintessential captain, not just for the Hounds, but the USA Eagles as well. But what we're going to really dig into is his post-playing career. That's why this episode is called After the Whistle. Currently, post-playing career, he is the general manager and sports activities director with Riverside Sports Properties, which operates out of Indianapolis. And they operate and control all the things going on at Kuntz Stadium that's done through a lease agreement with the city of Indianapolis. And so I think I want to really highlight that component as we move along here, Bryce, and talk about what's going on at Kuntz and how that's kept you connected to the rugby universe, if you will, in your post-playing career.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Rob. it was a pretty good journey, and the next chapter starting now. But yeah, this decision to step away from playing didn't happen in an instant. I'd been kind of working on this project in Indy for a while, for a few years, and I knew at some stage it was going to make sense for me to step away from playing and to take this on. So it just happened that this was the right time for me, mostly probably because my family. I've got wife and two young kids. Lucy's my wife, Goldie's my 2.5-year-old daughter, and my son Louis, who's 8 weeks old. So coming back home to Indianapolis and being around a lot of support and having the opportunity to take on this project full time, it was just the right time to do it. And so we're all really excited about it. And I get to give back to the community and make a big difference for rugby here in the States in a different way now, which I'm really excited about.
You absolutely should be. I want to touch upon rugby in Indianapolis and the greater Indiana area here in just a moment. But I got to ask this, and you kind of alluded to it, but I'm looking for maybe something, I don't know about, maybe more concrete. But, you know, you said you've been working on this project with Riverside for a number of years. So obviously it was kind of in the hopper. You were clearly setting yourself up for the next phase, if you will. But at what point did you say, all right, this is it. All right, I'm going to hang them up, and it's time to move forward, and it's time to give everything I got into this project at Riverside and Kuntz Field.
I probably decided in my head probably like halfway through the season, this past season. I didn't tell many people, kept it pretty close, but I knew that I, you know, had decided for myself. And you know, talking with my wife and some of the business partners we have, it was the right time. It was the right time for me. So I played really freely. I'm really happy with the way, the way that I competed throughout the whole season. Would have loved to get a championship at the end, but things don't always happen the way you want them to. It's the way it goes. But that's just kind of the way it all ended for me on the field, but it's all good.
So I got to ask this. So you're real tight with Dylan Fawcett, the Butch, right? And I know your kids, your daughter, Goldie, is really close to, you know, she and Liam used to play together a lot as infants. So I got to ask this question. Did you employ the Irish goodbye from the team where you kind of didn't tell anybody and you just kind of said, all right, season's over, we're out, and then you made your announcement? Or, you know, was there a point in time with the lads that you said, hey, I'm hanging them up, an announcement's forthcoming. You know, look them in the eye one last time. What was that process like?
Yeah, so, I mean, I decided in my head, but I didn't fully make the decision until the season was done. So, you know, I met with a few of my close friends in person and told them, and then a few phone calls because season ended, everyone's going their separate ways. And yeah, there's a bit of both, just because, yeah, there was still the small part of me that wanted to stay, and I didn't want to officially make the decision until the season was done.
Yeah, no, I understand that. Sometimes it was you guys had such a great season, and then, and I don't mean to bring up harsh feelings. It took me a good 2 weeks to get over that loss. It really did as a fan, you know, and as somebody that's been around the lads just a little bit, you know, on game days. But, you know, I guess, I mean, there's always a part of you as an athlete, as a competitor, that says, you know, I want to one last shot, but clearly you had a pretty good idea that you were going to do that. So let me ask this, aside from your wife, obviously, Lucy, who else did you rely upon to provide guidance and advice about the process of stepping away?
My parents, a few friends outside of the game that I've got, guys I grew up with and stuff like that. But yeah, it was mostly family.
Okay. Yeah. Did you talk to Will? I mean, Will is in a little bit precarious position because Will is tied into Riverside a little bit. I mean, he's in some of the promotional videos, especially with respect to U Sports. And obviously, as a director, as tied into the Hounds and director of rugby is his official title. But, you know, it's you guys are tight. You guys play together. You know, in Austin, you play together, I think, with the United States. So, did you keep things close to the vest with him? Did you kind of give him a little bit of an idea? What was Will's role?
Yeah, well, we're about as close as it gets, but I had to keep things close. Just, I didn't really tell anybody. So, yeah, I had to wait and wait until I had fully decided before telling him.
Yeah. Well, obviously it's working out very well. And, you know, while Hounds fans may be disappointed, I'm sure they're happy that you're getting to do on to that next phase and getting to spend more time with your family, getting to spend more time close to in Indy with your, you know, your folks and a lot of your friends and things like that. So I got to ask, as we kind of look back at your playing career before we move on to those new things, I'm interested in hearing what you had as an experience or a memory that resonated most, one from each phase, like one memory from your amateur phase, one memory from your professional phase, and one memory from your representative, you know, Eagles, representing our country, the jersey, kind of that phase. When I say that, what are, you know, one of each that sticks out and you go, yeah, that's something that I will always remember and cherish.
Well, I was lucky to have, you know, the best coaching throughout my career from when I was in middle school until I hung on my boots. So, I had a really, really strong group of kids and strong.
Dave Fee, thank you.
when I was in high school. So, probably the most notable high school coach for me was Scott Peterson. He kind of developed me. When I started playing, I was a back rower, which is no surprise, and then shifted me into the centers when I was in high school. And really got me kickstarted into the kind of next level. And we won the national championship when I was a junior and had a just an unbelievably stacked team. Joe Schrader was our number eight. You'll know that name, plays for the USA Sevens. And a few guys, Joe Sullivan was in the age grade programs. Drake Myers is really, really strong player. Greg Wood, we were just loaded across the board. And yeah, we won the national championship, and then Cathedral or Royal Irish won on a run for quite a few years after that. But that first one was a really sticks out in the memories for me. Next stage, I mean, being down at IU, playing with my brother was some of the most special days I had playing the game. We'd quite the motley crew, ragtag bunch of boys going around playing, which was a lot of fun. We went on a trip and beat Kutztown one year, which was a big win for us as an IU program. So that one definitely sticks out.
And by the way, before we take that next step, what people don't know, I think that's important to share, is that, you know, you're known around the lads as Bobby Dice, right? And it, and I've known you for a few years, and it wasn't until I think a year or two ago that you and maybe it was Lucy that actually said, hey, you might want to ask him why. But for fans that don't know, how did you get the name Bobby Dice real quick? And then we'll move back to the.
Yeah, so my brother is 2 years older than me. When I was a baby, instead of saying baby Bryce, he said Bobby Dice. And then my family just loved it, and they called me that ever since. So ever since I could remember, I've been, always been called Bobby Dice or Bobby D or Bobby.
There he goes. There he goes. So that's your brother not only played an important role in your nickname, but then you went on to have a great career at IU with him. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. All right.
My son's middle name's Dice as well. Louis Dice Campbell.
Get out of here. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I love it. I love it. So let's talk about professional. What is that one memory that sticks out for you there?
I mean, definitely going overseas to London, and I don't know, probably winning the championship. I think the game that sealed the deal for us was when we beat Richmond away. Got promoted back up to the Prem. So that was really, really special for me to go over there and play a lot and that first year and get the opportunity to play in the Premiership the next year. So met some unbelievable people over there that I'm still pretty close with.
Okay. Well, what about as an Eagle?
As an Eagle, I mean, there's a few. I had some unbelievable memories as an Eagle. I'll name three. Our second, when we went back-to-back ARC champions, mm-hmm. When we beat Uruguay down there, pretty good. That was just a really special tournament, and we were playing some of our best rugby. Some great times with, you know, Will McGee, James Hiltebrand, Nate Augsburger, all the boys. That was great. Beating Scotland and Houston. That's probably the biggest memory for me, just because it was just the best thing we've ever done in the jersey, probably. And then experiencing Japan in the World Cup and scoring against England is pretty cool.
Those are pretty good feathers in the cap, I'd say, during an excellent career that you've had over the course of your playing career. You know, it's interesting. One thing I wanted to bring this up because you talked about winning the national championship for Cathedral, and I don't think people appreciate just how good Indiana rugby really is. I mean, at the youth level, like California gets a lot of attention. You know, there's some other parts of the United States that get a lot of attention, but Indiana produces some really, really good rugby. not just the youth level, but then on into Indiana, of course, Indiana University. I mean, you played with two guys on the team that came that were products. At one time, three IU boys on the Hounds team playing at one time is pretty amazing.
Yeah, we had quite a few games towards, you know, the end of the season where we played a lot together, all three of us. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, why is that that Indiana is just able, I mean, like almost per capita produce such strong rugby, more so than any other state in the
United States? Yeah, so when I'd say, I mean, it probably goes way back, but for me, I started playing when I was in middle school because my buddies, Alex and Joe Sullivan, got me to go out and play for Broad Ripple Park, which is a program started by Eddie Abel and Michael Temple.
Oh, yeah.
And so I don't know if you know Temple, but he was one of my first coaches.
Okay.
Awesome player and guy. But they rallied, you know, a pretty strong contingent of guys to go out and play. And we just had really strong participation, whether it was Royal Irish or Brownsburg or North Central. Now Zionsville's come on. Recently, Fishers, Westfield,
yeah.
Pendleton. Like Royal Irish has taken a, you know, unfortunately a step down recently. Hopefully that'll come back up. But, you know, Pendleton and Zionsville and Westfield are crushing it. Fishers are crushing it. Carmel's getting some serious numbers out. It's just,
yeah.
It just kind of became a thing in Indy, and people bought in, and is more popular than in a lot of other areas around the states. And that participation turned into better competition and produced some decent players, and hopefully we'll continue to do so.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, yeah. There's some kind of good players that come out of Indiana and the Indianapolis area. And we'll kind of circle back to that as we talk about what you're doing at Riverside here in a moment. But I want to ask you, before we move kind of that part of our conversation, what's one piece of advice that a seasoned Bobby Dice would give his, you know, 16, 17, 18-year-old self? So if you go back, give yourself advice, what would it be?
That's a tough one. I'll just say, take it day by day, control the controllables. It's the biggest thing.
Sounds like a captain's advice at work. Yeah, that's 100%. That's it. Yeah, you can't beat that advice. You know, control what you can control. The other stuff, let it fall where it is, but work on what you can work on 100%. All right, so I got to ask you. You know, we've talked about your career. We've talked about these points in your career that have been amazing and influential to get you to where you are today. So, I got to ask. Do you miss being a professional athlete?
I wouldn't say I do now. I bet when the next kind of season comes around and I'm watching the next USA game and all that stuff, I'm sure that'll probably start to creep in. But right now, when things are quiet, not yet.
Okay, that sounds reasonable. So what are you going to, I mean, when those times come around, we have obviously we have the PNC coming up here very shortly at the end of the month. Women's World Cup is happening. So obviously you can associate with that experience, having played in the World Cup yourself. What do you miss most? What do you think you'll miss most about being with the lads?
I mean, that's it. That's just every day with the guys. It's pretty special. That's it. Going on road trips away with the guys. I'll probably miss most is a beer after a game. Is nice. Like with the guys you just went to battle with is the best.
Yeah, and that's definitely one to be missed for sure. But anytime you want to come have a beer here at Chicago Blaze, yeah. and you know, celebrate Whitey and what he's doing down there in Lamont. You're welcome. You have an open invitation. Tell them the hammer sent you. Not that it's really good for much, but it'll get you in the door. So let's talk about your new role. As we mentioned, obviously, you know, we talked about general manager and sports activities director with Riverside Sports Properties there in Indianapolis. So what does this new role involve? I mean, job description, I don't need a job description, but I mean, what does it mean to be the general manager and the sports activities director at Koontz?
Yeah, it means a lot. Looking after the stadium, everything from getting maintenance people in, looking after the fields, scheduling personnel, anything operationally, and then also finding events to host, creating our own events to host, working with Indiana Sports Corp and other groups to bring events to Indianapolis and to Koontz, to get involved in the community, all sorts of stuff. So yeah, we're really lucky that we worked hard to get control of the facility, and now we have the opportunity to make it really special, not just physically, but culturally. So it's kind of my job to make it all happen.
So what are, obviously you can't announce any events that haven't quite been locked up, but we know that obviously the CRAAs, the 15s were played there this last spring. I would argue just from a general seating size, things like that, it was almost an ideal venue from that experience, because it really gave the, it was a good seating size, and it gave a really kind of quaint atmosphere for folks that were watching on TV. So obviously there's CRAs. What other sorts of events can we expect to see coming to Koontz and through the Riverside management organization?
So we had CRAs, which we hope to land for another few years. We'll see. We had the USA Club Nationals a couple weeks after that. So that's another one. Those are two events that we really love to have and would hope to do in the future. We've got Marion University are playing Kentucky this Friday night. And Marion have a couple of games. Marion University is 2 miles from the stadium. So it's pretty cool to have them right around the corner. Big IU versus Marion game September. And then we've got IU versus IU in October.
IU's playing who? They're playing Marion, and what other game is IU playing?
IU's playing Purdue as well in October.
And Marion as well. Okay.
Yeah. IU Marion game's the September 12th. Should be a good one.
Okay. And what about IU Purdue?
I think it's the 24th or 25th. September? 24th is a Friday night. October.
October 24th. Okay. Wifey's birthday. I don't think I'll be able to make that one, but maybe maybe the 12th. I'd like to get down there and check it out and catch a game, because it is a great, a quaint, nice venue, almost, ideally suited for high-level college rugby. That's awesome. Are there any other sports that are tied into the Koontz Field and some of the other properties under Riverside?
Yeah. So, I mean, our focus is rugby. We're going after all the rugby events, but we also have, a responsibility to the community to make it available for use and to, create a fun space for the people around to come and play. So we've got a couple of soccer groups that come in on, Tuesday, Wednesday night that use the facilities, a couple others that come in on the weekend. We're not against hosting any sports, but it's just our focus is rugby first, and it's going to be a rugby first venue going forward.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
I love that idea because so often, and I think we see this at the MLR level, you probably experienced a little bit, at least on a tertiary through, you know, management and things like that, is that, you know, with the exception of the Houston Sabercats, no teams own their stadium. So they almost played second fiddle. I know in 2024, the Hounds actually had to play the Legion on a Monday night because there was a concert. Summer Smash or something like that happening on the weekend. And so, you know, and had you guys gotten the opportunity to host this season, that Eastern Conference Championship, that would have had to been probably a Koontz from what I understand.
Could have been. Yeah, definitely could have been.
You do keep your cards close to your vest. All along, I thought that's why you got Bobby Dice, your gambling side. Anyway, but that's awesome. So I wanted to ask, it mentions on the website, is Indiana State Championships held there, or is that something you guys are working on?
We're working on that, yeah. Hopefully we'll get that locked in. We're just working through some logistics with Rugby Indiana.
Okay. Hit me up and let me know if that comes about. I'd love to come down for the Indiana State Championships because, like you were talking about, some excellent rugby around the Indianapolis area. It seems like a no-brainer to hold it there. I know the Moose Ground, since it's a great job. Of course, the Elkhart hosted a qualifier there for the Midwest. But I really think, as far as a feature facility, if people don't know, Koontz Field, you know, far outshines the Moose Ground just simply for fan experience and the ability to enjoy a nice venue to watch some really good rugby, whether it's high school, college, or you know, we'll talk about maybe, I don't know, something else beyond that, right? which I want to ask about. So let me ask you this first before we get into it. Given your new role, given this opportunity, has this been, you know, you said you've been kind of working on this for a couple of years, but is this something that, even going back farther than that, that you wanted to be involved in, you know, kind of property management organization and connecting that with rugby? Or is that just, again, something you found more recently as you began to explore opportunities and be connected with partners that had the same vision for Indiana?
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes back quite a ways. I mean, I remember when, you know, either in high school or college and driving past Koontz Stadium, because Koontz Stadium used to be, you know, a really, really nice venue. It was renovated in the 80s to host the Pan American Games. There were international soccer games played there. And then unfortunately, it's just, you know, hasn't been managed very well and it's kind of fallen apart over the years. But its location is awesome. It's just northwest of downtown Indianapolis. There's so much going on, an area called 16 Tech, which is right next to it. Big redevelopment of Riverside Park right next to it as well. And I just remember driving past this place probably 10 years ago and being like, that would be an awesome rugby venue. Yeah. And, you know, over the years, people, you know, started talking and I met, you know, some people who felt a similar way. And we put together our little group and went after it and figured out how to get it done. So, the facility is owned by the city, and is part of the parks department. So we struck a deal with the city and the parks to take it over for 20 years. And we're, you know, agreed to do a certain number of renovations, and we're hoping to do quite a bit more than what we just agreed to. So we're, you know, our plans to make it an iconic venue, not only known in Indy, but hopefully nationally and internationally. The plan is to make it around 5,000 to 8,000 seats. Right now it's about 2,000. Host some really cool events. So we're pretty excited.
So can you talk about, you mentioned renovations. Can you talk about some of those that are kind of on the horizon that if a fan were to go, let's say the CRAs are held there in the fall, or the Club 15's national championship is back there again in around about April. What renovations might take place between here and then that fans might notice?
Yeah, I think we're going to, when we first got control of the facility in January, we had to make it operational. So that came mm-hmm. down to plumbing, getting all the locker rooms accessible and working, nice, you know, paint job, getting the concession stand back up and running, and everything to make it operational again, put a little bit of money into the fields. All reports back were, all the players loved playing on them. Surface still looks really good. It's held up really well all year. But looking forward to next year, we really want to invest in the fan experience. So potentially looking at more seats on the other side, looking at correcting either a press box or some sort of platform on the other side for filming to mm-hmm. make it easier for production. Some upgrades to the VIP kind of areas. I don't know if you made your way up there, but we have kind of two viewing decks above the seats, and then a press box in the middle that's kind of a VIP area as well. And then investing in our sound system. Those are just a few things on the short term.
Nice. Well, those sound like fantastic upgrades, and certainly things that, as you talk about, not only can give fans that are in attendance a better experience, but also fans that might be watching with the better vantage points. That's an important piece too. I know a lot of fans, as they watch MLR games, that's kind of a key thing that they look for, is some quality angles for viewing and TV production. So that's good news. So for fans that haven't seen it, if you go to Riverside, was it Riverside Sports Properties? Is that right?
Yeah, RiversideSportsProperties.com. Or just kinkstadium.com. We got two websites.
If you check either of those out, you're gonna clearly see a pretty detailed and laid out plan and vision for what this property will look like and what they want to do with it in the rugby space. And I just want to cap that real quick, Bryce, for folks that are watching, so that they have an understanding of what the plans are, what your plans are, what your team's plans are. So redevelopment of Koontz as a future home of USA Rugby and its four national teams. Redevelopment of Koontz as a potential home for a professional rugby team. Redevelopment of Koontz to a standard acceptable to host international events like the Rugby World Cup 2031 and 33. So I got to ask this. And I have a couple questions out of this based upon this redevelopment plan. At the moment, USAR and its men's and women's sevens and 15s teams, as you well know, having experienced it firsthand, operate out of at least four parts of the country, right? USAR is in Colorado. We have, of course, Chula Vista for the sevens program. Scott's got the men's program, again, as you well know, in Charlotte currently. The women kind of practice in a couple different places. So, is it your contention? Is it your team's contention that the United States should be consolidating its efforts into one place to operate?
That's a great question. I would love for USA Rugby to come to India. I think there's a lot of great reasons why it makes sense. But it comes down to what they want to do, and But I think we have a pretty strong case in Indianapolis with Indiana Sports Corp, with all the other national governing bodies that we have in Indy, to not only just in and around, you know, our facility that we're redeveloping, but other resources that the city have and the city's vision. The city's got a plan to be, you know, the world leader in women's sports, and to be more of an internationally known city. So everything we're doing aligns with what the city's vision is, and I think it aligns perfectly with USA Rugby. So we'll see. We'll see. We've got pretty big goals around that. But time will tell. See if we'll get there.
So let me ask this. What makes Koontz in Indianapolis an attractive location for Rugby World Cup 2031 and 2033?
So as it is right now, Koontz would not be big enough to host a Rugby World Cup match, at least for the men, or, you know, the way the women's game's going and the numbers that are coming out of England, probably not gonna be big enough for that either. But would be a great size and great location as a training facility for, you know, depending on where the cities are decided for host matches for a team to come out, set camp for a few weeks and then flying in and out of for their games. You know, we know there's going to be a lot of logistical challenges with football here in the States come 31 and 33 and the time of year that the Rugby World Cup is. So, you know, us being a rugby first and purpose-built stadium, we hope to be pretty high on the totem pole and places that teams want to come and train. So we're working hard with Indiana Sports Corp and the city on what it might look like for Indianapolis to host some matches too and other venues that'll be available.
Yeah, I mean, could Lucas Oil be available for a big men's match, you know, a tier one match or a women's tier one match?
I wish it could, but the size of the turf, the field in there is not big enough. They would have to take out some of the stands. So unless they made those sort of modifications, then Lucas Oil wouldn't work. But there's some other projects in and around MLS and another potential stadium that could host if that ends up happening.
Okay. So there's still some hope to bring, you know, like you said, bring a team in there for training and, you know, be a base camp or location, you know, for the 6 weeks, 7 weeks of the World Cup, but potentially for, you know, other locations within Indianapolis, for some of those matches to take place, smaller matches, smaller venues in which they can take place. It's good news. Certainly good news for somebody who lives in the Midwest like myself. So let me ask one last point about that kind of larger goal and vision that Riverside Sports has for Koontz. MLR says you want to have a professional rugby team. Is that still a goal? Is it still, you know, with the recent news coming out of the league, is that still something that you guys have your eye on, or have maybe those goals shifted a little bit more to emphasize some of those other redevelopment efforts that are going on?
I think it's definitely still a goal. I think Indianapolis would be a great market for an MLR team, or, you know, I don't think it comes down to necessarily the league. It's also, sorry, if you mind asking me this question again.
No, it's all right. Let me timestamp it. Okay. Okay. So you've talked about some of these other efforts for redevelopment of Koontz, you know, including the World Cup and potentially, you know, getting USA to have a base camp there. But let's talk about one of the other goals. Is it still a goal for Riverside Sports and Koontz as a larger, you know, as this big entity to bring professional rugby to the Indianapolis area?
yes, I definitely think it's still our goal to bring a professional team to Indy. You know, despite the things that have happened over the past couple of weeks in the league, I'm still a believer in the MLR. You know, we'll see how things shake up, but you know, who knows, in the next year or two, could be a lot more stable, stable situation. And we want to keep our options open, and we want to work with the league to try to bring a team to Indy. So I don't want to go into too much detail, but I still hope to bring a professional team to Indy.
I mean, how long is it before you think you'll have a stadium of, let's say, five? You mentioned the targets of 4,000 to 5,000. So when do you think you guys would be positioned to hold a seating for that number of fans?
You know, it can be done in the next couple of years.
Okay.
You know, if we had to, we could bring in an additional couple thousand seats tomorrow if we had to.
Yeah.
But we want to do it in the right way. We want to do it in a more permanent way. So I think it's going to probably be a couple of years, but it's not far off.
I mean, it almost seems like an ideal place to hold an MLR final, right? I mean, we've seen how well Chicago
did. Language. You know,
yeah, right. I mean, it's. You know, is it Rhode Island had it was a great venue. It was quaint. It was small. It looked very good on camera because it was 90% full, if not 100% full. And it sounds like Kuntz is the ideal situation for an MLR final. It's right in the middle of the country. So, it sounds like a great opportunity, not only for the league, but for, you know, Indianapolis Sports Commission and for Riverside Sports more specifically. I love that idea. Let's, if you don't mind, let me ask you a question about the league. You are a players rep for other Eagles, and you were involved to some degree and pretty close to the bone when the players union was starting to develop itself and cement itself with the league. What is the state of the league now? Again, folks might know, you might not know. I mean, you're not involved with the team anymore, so you may have a little closer knowledge than perhaps most fans. But what is the state of the league from your position where you're at, working at Riverside and connecting with the rugby community there?
Look, I know it seems very rough with a few teams folding, but as far as I know, the eight that are there now still are pretty bought into the future, and you know, I don't see the league going anywhere, and I think that you've got committed owners in that group that want to see it out, and you know, hopefully that's the way it's going to go, and hopefully this will be a blip in our memories, and the league will be in a place where it can set a new foundation and grow again.
Okay. I'm going to put you on the spot here, Bryce. Let's just say Nick Benson came to you, or maybe eight other owners came to you and said, hey, we want some new leadership and we think you're the guy to do it. What is one thing that the league can do now that it's kind of consolidated, kind of almost an opportunity to hit the reset button? What's one thing the league could do in a reset that would perhaps set itself on a little bit more stable footing moving forward as we head into season 9?
Oh, that's tough. That's a very tough question, because
by the way, I would ask Nick Benson himself, but he doesn't come on our show.
Yeah.
He only goes on McCarthy's show.
I think if we can focus, I say we, if the teams can focus on getting butts in seats, I think the rest will kind of take care of itself. I know it's easier said than done. But I think it's just each team is to buy in and grow their following, and I don't know. It's a tough question, Rob.
It is. So let me ask you this. I mean, you played in Chicago, and you know as well as I do from being on that pitch in February and March that it's pretty tough to draw fans into that experience. You guys have played rugby, and we've been on that pitch in some pretty damn cold days, right? So it almost seems like an ideal situation is to say, okay, we've got eight teams. We've got seven. If you play everybody once, it's seven games. You play everybody home and away, it's 14 games. Would it be a good idea to scale back the season by 2 weeks? So instead of 16, do 14. Saves on travel for one game. Saves on, you know, your home venue and renting your home venue for another game and production cost for a home game. And it also gives an opportunity to kind of to move the season a little bit more forward so you can get a little better weather for more of your games than perhaps in the last couple of years and not run up against that international window in July. I mean, is that something that you think would be helpful as a guy who's played the game, as a guy who's brought friends and family to games?
I definitely don't think it'll hurt. You know, you're fighting an uphill battle, like you said, in Chicago and in February. I think aligning the schedules is a big piece. And I know, again, it's easier said than done, especially when most teams are having to deal with other users of their facilities and making that work. But you know, I think back it was last year, we played Dallas and Chicago in February, and then we played Dallas away and what was it, June or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like, why, surely they would just flip-flop these games. That doesn't make any sense to me. Like, both of us are losing out. It's a billion degrees down there. Everyone's, you know, you're sweating right as soon as you get out of the car. And then Chicago, it's cold. Why wouldn't they just switch it? But, you know, yeah, again, there's other variables in those decisions. So.
So, all right, last question, Bryce. I want to thank you for sharing a bit of your time and insights, especially with regard to what's in the horizon for Riverside and Coon Stadium and the role it hopes to play, and you hope it plays in rugby moving forward, especially in the Midwest, which I'm a big fan of course. But aside from your role in Riverside, will we see you engage with rugby in other ways moving forward?
I look forward to, I don't know if any like particular, sorry, I did not answer that very well.
That's okay. You're good. Hey, look, folks, just so you know, I'm Bryce has not been, I have not set these questions ahead of time. So he's being put on the spot. No kidding. And he's knocked them all down. You know, and these are some tougher questions. So you're good, Bryce. You know, no worries, mate.
No, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I look forward to getting out to high schools and clubs around here in Indy. Hopefully working with some USA alumni and other stuff, other areas to grow the game too. But I'm open to getting involved in a lot of things. And now I've got the time to do so. So, really looking forward to it.
Yeah. And perhaps that's where that should be I know here in Chicago, the Hounds owner, Peter Burnick, Will Maggie, Janet Keene do a wonderful job engaging the youth and rugby community, the young lads. But I can't help but thinking, and maybe I'm wrong here, I can't help but thinking that some of those teams that have gone away over the years of the MLR, they've missed that piece. They haven't invested in the youth rugby in their area, and therefore it's made it difficult for them to grow the game. It's one of the things, as I said, Chicago's done very well. You know, so I may be off the mark, but I kind of think that's with the exception of maybe NOLA, one of the common denominators. So
you gotta get out and do the work. You know, people aren't just gonna come. So that's what I really looking forward to do is, yeah, getting out to the high schools, getting out to the clubs, bringing them to Coons to experience it and to enjoy it as well too. So
100%. I like that. I wrote that down. Get out and do the work. You know, otherwise people just won't show up. That's so true. Kind of not only embodies embodies a lot about Bryce Campbell. I know that for sure. Just a guy who's going to give it all, put himself on the line. He did it on the pitch. He's obviously doing it for the rugby community there in Indiana, and hopes at bringing in more of the international, the national and international elements of rugby as well. We can't wait to see what's on the horizon and what comes next for Koontz and Bryce Campbell as the GM of this effort down there at Koontz. Bryce, I want to thank you with all my heart at sharing some time with us, the fans, talking about, you know, your career, talking about what you're doing now, still staying engaged with rugby, and perhaps sharing a vision for what you hope Koontz is able to do for the sports of rugby here in the United States.
Oh, thank you, Rob. I really appreciate you having me on. And yeah, looking forward to it.
100%. I'm going to try to make it down. If you guys live in the Midwest, if you're in Chicago, if you're in Indianapolis, if you're in Northern Indiana, IU will be playing Marion at the Koontz Sports Complex on September 12th. And then, which should be a really good match, that should be a good one. And then Indiana University will play Purdue on October 24th at Koontz as well. So those are two great games that you can catch, some excellent college rugby in the Midwest. I'm going to try to hit that September 12th game.
That should be a really good one.
Yeah.
That'd be really good.
So, just don't charge me double to get in. So, thanks again, Bryce. And I want to wish you and Lucy and your wonderful children all the best as you guys, you know, can be kind of continue to develop and share more time with one another as you step away from rugby on the field and step into being one of those guys who promotes rugby off the pitch as well. So thank you very much, Bryce.
Thank you, Rob. Appreciate it.
All right. No worries. And so, fans, we're going to keep coming back at you with great content. Of course, we have some wonderful stuff coming up. The USA PNC, of course, the women are in the World Cup. As of this recording, I think we're 5 days away from that big opener. 40,000 tickets have been sold for that match against the Red Roses. It should be an absolute cracker. We wish the women all the best. And, you know, of course, we're going to be back in Chicago with the big guy at Reggie's on November 1st. Join us. It'll be live. We're doing the show from Reggie's for an hour, and then we're going to be taking people over to the pitch to enjoy what will be an outstanding game between Ireland and New Zealand. Catch us. We're keeping with you. We're filling in on all the rugby that's happening, and we hope to continue to bring great content just to shine a light, as Bryce has been doing, for this wonderful game in the United States. Where we hope to grow rugby one fan at a time. With that, we'll see everybody at the...
Wayfair's Labor Day clearance is here. Right now, score up to 70% off everything home, plus fast shipping on everything right to your door. Shop now through September 2nd at wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.